Welcome to Mental Talks, a podcast aimed at fighting the stigma surrounding mental health. I'm Paul Hannah.
And I'm Lewis O'Kay, and each week we will openly discuss topics that surround mental health. Welcome to episode one of Mental Talks. Myself and Paul Hannah will be going over numerous topics today, mainly based on our own personal experiences with mental health and why we decided to do this podcast.
Hi everyone, how's it going?
So Paul, we've been putting this off for so long, why have we decided to start it now?
Yeah, this is it. I mean, it's nerve-wracking, isn't it? But it's something that needs to be done, and we're both excited to do this, and I think it will help people as well as us. It's been a while in the making, but we're there. You know, this is episode one.
It's incredibly nerve-wracking, but I think it'd be great to get it out there, get people to understand the stigma surrounding mental health, and hopefully, even if we can help one person change their mind and their view on mental health, that's the gain of one person, isn't it?
So, yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, there's so much stigma around mental health, and I think it's just lack of understanding. When people don't understand things, they tend to have quite a negative judgment on it, which, you know, obviously, hopefully our podcast can help, you know, change that and turn it into a positive. And, you know, we're all about helping people. So hopefully there's people out there that we can reach out to.
Two average blokes from the Midlands talking about mental health.
That's all it is.
If that doesn't help people, then I don't know what will.
Yeah, so, definitely.
Paul, I'm gonna ask you a question now. First question, when did you realise that you had some kind of mental illness?
I struggled with mental health. Well, to be honest, I never understood it until I was of the understanding that, you know, depressed people, what are they depressed about? Blah blah blah. I didn't understand it at all. But I think it was the breakup of myself and my son. I've got a 2-year-old son. He's called Theodore. It was the break of me and his mother, and sort of I couldn't get my head around not being a family unit. You know, everyone wants the idyllic situation of, you know, mum, dad, baby, and that wasn't, you know, that was breaking. That was just going, and that's what sort of started it, really. I couldn't
everyone
get
wants that perfect life, don't they?
Yeah.
I think when you can't have that perfect life, I think it gets a little bit to you, I think.
Yeah. And it was something that I felt was very much out of my control. And obviously you want to play a part in having control of your own life. And you know, it was sort of just slipping away. And, you know, looking back, you know, there's things that I would have done different, and there's things that I'm sure everyone in the situation would have done different. But yeah, to answer your question, Lewis, I think that, you know, that sort of part of my life breaking up before my eyes, that's what sort of stemmed it. And, you know, there was a lot of stuff that happened. I'm not going to get too into it in the specifics of what happened, but, you know, it sort of had a downward spiral, and was getting very upset with things, and I didn't know how to handle it, really. But yeah, we'll dig a bit more into that a bit later. What about yourself? I mean,
I guess
what's your story?
I think I've always struggled with stress and worry, but I always used to put it on the back burner and just think, like yourself, you know, it's not really, it's nothing mental, it's not depression, it's not this, it's not that. But then I had a massive personal change in circumstances. I split with a partner I'd been with for quite a while. And I think when your brain goes through something so traumatic and you can't understand it anymore and you lose that control that you always thought you had, I think that's when you realise, when you feel like you've got nowhere to turn to. I think that was the biggest one for me. I had what I thought was everything, and then it all stemmed away from me. Yeah. And then I just couldn't understand it, and my brain couldn't work it out. And that's when I sort of went on a bit of a downward spiral, had some really bad effects to it. And that's when I sought help and us seek the help of a doctor. And when they sit there and tell you you're struggling with depression, you have anxiety, you think, oh, have I got anxiety? And you really work out, actually, these situations that you put yourself in, they make you anxious because you have no control. And that's the biggest one, is when you've got no control.
Yeah, and this is it. I mean, you say anxiety and depression, you know, people have this, yes, it's stigma, but people have this expectation of what anxiety is or what depression is. And same with me, to be honest, before I went through it, you know, I didn't understand what it was. You know, people think depression is sat in a corner by yourself, rocking yourself and having a good old cry, when sometimes it can be that, but other times it can be as simple as cancelling plans, you know, last minute because you're having a down day or something like that. You know, there's a lot of different ways it can affect you.
Yeah, I think the biggest one for me is people say anxiety, and it could just be a simpler thing of someone says something to you a bit negative, and it could be that they're just trying to help you, but then your mind starts playing on that one sentence over and over, and you become nervous, and you feel a bit like you've let yourself down a little bit. You don't want to go and do something. Like I say, cancelling plans. I used to cancel plans left, right and centre because I just didn't want to put myself in that situation where I'd become panicky, or, you know, how things sort of started with me around the work, and you didn't want to go into work or see people. You always feel a bit on the edge when you do things. But when I look back now, I think I'm in a better place now than when I ever was. But like yourself, do you still struggle now?
I'm a lot better. I'm a lot better than what I was. You know, I was in a dark place. You know, I think I did remarkably well to sort of get myself out of it. And you know, there's a lot of things. As soon as I realized I needed help, you know, I went to the doctors and, you know, went through that sort of process, went through counseling, and that's really helped, you know. And what I have done, I've used fitness as a massive sort of go-to, and I know you have as well, you know.
I think fitness is huge.
Yeah,
it's been hard though, isn't it, the last 3-4 months,
yeah,
not having that place to go and turn into and get yourself into. Yeah.
And it is important. I mean, it's not just you know, oh, the gym's shut, I can't lift heavy weight. Sometimes, you know, I just used to go and sit in the gym in the studios, you know, do a little workout. But sometimes just being in that environment helps, you know. But it
takes you away, doesn't it? So when I walk through that door of the gym, it's not about, you know, what can I do to boost my ego or what can I lift heavy this week. Sometimes it's about, I've taken myself away from normal everyday life and I've come into an environment where everyone has got the same sort of goal. Everyone around you is pushing themselves, and you've taken yourself away from that work life, home life, social life, and you put your headphones in, put your music on, and you just get on with it. So for me, fitness and the gym, I've lost a lot of weight from it, which has boosted it, I think.
Yeah.
It's massive to me, but COVID-19 seems to have put us all on a downward spiral. And
You know, it's a situation that no one has came across before, so it's affected everyone differently. And, you know, it's especially with the gyms being shut, you know, the fitness has sort of taken a back step for most people. But it's all about how we overcome it. But sorry, going back to your original question, you know, do I still struggle? I do, but I'm, you know, I take the necessary steps. You know, I understand what I'm feeling and when, and I allow myself to have those feelings, to have those sort of, to have a good cry. But as soon as that's done, I get back to it. You know, I get back to my daily goals and what I'm working towards, you know. For example, yesterday, you know, I had my son, I had Theodore for the weekend, and you know, I assume, you know, if single parents will understand this. You know, there's nothing worse than having to give back your child. You know, it almost feels as if like you're borrowing your child.
That must be hard.
Yeah.
When you have something around you, and you've got to let it go for a while, however long that is, that you've got to let it go.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not so much, you know, I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just having him in my presence is just amazing in itself. You know, it could be him having a nap upstairs. You know, I'm not necessarily playing with him, or he's not playing with me, but we're you know, he's in my presence, and having him there, it feels normal. It feels brings a sense of normality. And when I have to give him back, you know, I get hit with all sorts of emotions. You know, as I said yesterday, I came back home, sat on his bed. You know, he has his own room, sat on his little bed, and just had a good cry. You know, looked back on photos and videos that I'd taken off him, had a good little cry. But as soon as I'd finished that cry, you know, I used that as motivation and sort of, it sounds a bit silly, but I had a good tidied up his room, tidied up, you know, my room, and sorted things out and got myself organized for this upcoming week. So
big week. So when we wanted to talk about the stigma. How much of a stigma do you think mental health still has in today's sort of work environment? When you think about mental health, when you're on your own, when you're with your friends and family, and when you go to work, do you think that you can talk about it freely with people? Or do you still feel like if you mention that you're struggling, some people won't want to help you?
I don't think it's a sense of not wanting to help. I just think there is a stigma around the word mental health, you know, the two words mental health. You know, people don't want to talk about it. Well, there's, you know, obviously there's people that do, but there's too many people out there that don't want to talk about it, that shy away from it. And, you know, pretty much like myself, before going through it, really, if you don't understand something, you don't want to entertain it. And obviously, especially in the workplace, you know, there's a certain amount of professionalism that you need to carry with yourself, and
definitely,
you know, that's important to maintain that. So it is hard. It's really hard in that sense.
I think the biggest thing is, I've heard the quote, men don't want to talk about mental health because they don't want to look weak.
Mm.
That's a very powerful line to say, because are you weak if you talk about your mental health and why you struggle? For me, is it why I struggle? No, I don't think it is. I think it doesn't make me any weak of a person, or as weak as sort of a manager or as a friend. I think it just makes me a little bit different, makes me look at things in a different way, in a different light. So when people say that you're weak, that really probably, I say, annoys me in a way. And when you say understanding, I think that's the biggest one for me. People who don't want to understand maybe just need that bit of education around mental health rather than avoiding it completely.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, mental health is becoming, you know, a more, you know, talked about area.
If you think 25% or 1 in 4 people suffer with some kind of mental health problem,
it's
a lot of people that don't probably talk about it as much as they probably need to.
Yeah. And going back to your point about strong versus weak, obviously with myself going through it, I actually believe people that do talk about mental health are strong, you know, are very strong, for the fact that they can recognize their feelings, they can be accountable for those feelings, they can own those feelings and go through it, and then pick themselves back up and get back to what they're, you know, that they want to achieve. You know, it's having that strength to sort of be open about
You have to have a lot of inner strength to get through it, don't you?
To be true to yourself, you know, and own, you know, accountability is massive. And to be able to own what you're feeling, it's, you know, you do need strength for that.
Definitely. The big inner strength. I think with mental health, and as I say to anyone that struggles, you have to help yourself before you expect anyone else to help you.
Yes, definitely.
If you understand what your problems are, what your triggers, what do you think your triggers are? I suppose you spoke about it a little bit.
Yeah. Just as I said, the main one is giving Theo back. You know, that time of the week comes and I have to give him back. You know, it's heartbreaking. It really is. You know, and it could be I'm set to see him a couple of days later, but that doesn't take away the fact that I'm giving him back on that specific day. You know, it's just, so that's mine. I mean, I was asking you the same sort of question, really. Do you still struggle? And I'd ask you, you know, what are your triggers?
I personally, I still struggle sometimes. And it could be something as simple. I've had a bad day at work and then I've come home and thought about it and thought that I've let myself down. And then there's my biggest trigger, is that I strive for excellence in everything I do. And
what do you mean? What do you mean a bad day at work? Because everyone has different...
Everyone has bad days at work, don't they?
Yeah, but is that bad, you know, in terms of business-wise?
It could just be that you've just had a bad shift. You've not managed to do everything that you needed to do. So you feel like you've let yourself down. But I always try and look at my triggers now. So I know when I'm feeling a bit low, like yourself, really. And then I try and do something about it. Whereas when I was really struggling, I probably would be that person that would mope around the house and sit there and just think, the woe is me, the world's against me, no one wants to help me. The biggest problem I had was talking about it first. Could not talk about it whatsoever. I always felt if I wanted to talk about it, no one would want to listen. So if I held it in, actually, I'd be taking control. When I look back now, when I first spoke to my parents about it, they were quite understanding. They probably didn't understand mental health that much, so couldn't really gauge what was going on. But when you break it down a little bit to them, actually, they came up quite trumps on everything and sort of pushed me in the right direction.
That's good.
I still feel, you know, when we talk about the workplace, you spend a lot of time at work, don't you?
Yeah.
And I feel there is that slight, people don't understand mental health, people don't know how to help or how to support you. And that can really be a big impact on your daily mental health, because if you come away from work and feel that no one can help you there, that puts you on edge and anxious to go into work itself. Like the place I work now, the company I work for, they're starting to sort of educate a bit more on mental health, which is I found it fantastic that they want to do that.
Yeah,
and they want to educate people more. You always found, I don't know, but if this is you, if people rang in sick or if you rang in sick for work, did you want to say that you were ill because of mental illness?
I've never done it in the past, but I suppose that latches on to the stigma of it, you know. Would that be acceptable to do, you know? And I think the majority of people think no, you know, unless, you know, you get to, unless you're physically unable to get out of bed without throwing up, or, you know, people don't want to phone in sick. But, you know, it's a strange one.
As a manager, if someone rang you and said, "Hi, Paul, I'm really struggling with my mental health today. I don't think I can come to work," would you find that an acceptable excuse to not come to work that day?
Yes. But I would sort of see whether I could help, or, you know, I would encourage them to come in I'm, you know, to talking business wise, I'd encourage them to come in and sort of see what I could do to help improve the work environment for the, you know, in order for them to feel well enough to come in. You know, if it's a case of, you know, oh, I don't really like what my duties are. Okay, well, let's explore different roles that you can work in and stuff like that. He could be, the employee could be really stressed about targets, and, you know, is very anxious when speaking to management. So it could be, a case of just talking things through.
Being that person that can listen, isn't it? If you give someone a chance to talk to you, that could be a massive help on someone's mental health.
Definitely. When do you feel triggered the most? Is it before work or during work or after work?
I'd say now, the best way I could put it is it could just be the slightest of thing has happened during the day. And for that entire day, I feel on edge, let's just say, or anxious.
Okay.
Whereas before, I wouldn't have been able to manage it properly, or I've had to take medication to manage that anxiety, to manage that depression. Now I sort of have an outlet where if I just talk to someone and say, oh, I am struggling today a little bit, I don't feel like they're going to look at me and say, all right, just get on with it, or, you know, brush it under the carpet. Yeah. Or the best phrase that people have ever used is, oh, man up a little bit. When I've heard that phrase a lot, I think I'm still strong and I'm still a man just because I say, I'm struggling a little bit.
Sorry, just to go back. You mentioned two points there. One about medication, and the other about looking after yourself. You know, it's very common for people to go to doctors and say, right, I'm depressed, give me some tablets, and not change anything about themselves, and then wonder why medication's not working. You know, you have to, going back to your point a few minutes ago, you have to look after yourself, find an outlet, you know, whether that is fitness or whether that's, you know, doing, you know, finding a hobby that you love and really, really being motivated and
it's about embracing,
accepting
that you've got an issue. But actually, medication by itself will never solve anything.
No.
Because ultimately, do you want to be on medication for the rest of your life? Are you just masking an issue?
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than actually helping issues. So I don't take any medication at all anymore.
No.
I think I was on medication for a year when I decided, actually, I don't want to be reliant on something that helps me feel good.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when I went to the doctors, they did offer me medication, and at that time, I said no because I didn't understand it. I was always a bit cautious. You know, I've never taken any drugs or anything like that, so I'm always a bit cautious as to why they offer it, and you know the what symptoms you need and the risks involved and things like that. So I didn't really understand it. So I said no. But I've actually done a qualification through a company called Mental Health Mentors, which you know, they're on Instagram and things. So give them a follow. But I did that qualification and it went through all the different types of medication and the reasons why you take certain medications and you know the side effects that it has and what it does to help you and you know the different chemicals that are released and you know so I think it's great to get you know clued up on things before you take things blindly. I said no at the time, and I've never been on them before, but now if I did go into a downward spiral, I'd be a bit more comfortable, you know, with accepting that kind of health. you know, as I said to you, the help I did accept was the counselling. And at the start, yeah, me and the you know, the counsellor, I was reluctant, and I didn't agree with what she was saying and what she was suggesting. So it was,
fully agree with you. I think I'd had some counselling. And when you sit opposite someone for the first time and they ask you to talk about certain things, and you think, oh, okay, let me just stop. I don't want to talk about that. But actually,
As soon as you start opening up, it does become easy. I mean, my first ever counselling session, I'd say, was the hardest. Purely for the fact, you know, obviously, for me, and for those listening that knows me, I am very confident. I've got quite a confident disposition. But as soon as I walked in and she asked me why I wanted help, I broke down and covered in tears and snot and all sorts. You know, it was just hard.
That's kind of image that is.
Paul
Hannah covered in. But actually, to be able to openly talk about it with someone is... I say this to everyone, just talk. It's so easy just to lock everything away and lock all your emotions in one place. But actually, you're only making things worse. The people around you start suffering as well.
Yeah.
Because some people want to help you, but if you're not willing to be that, use your initiative to open up to someone, how do you expect anyone to help you and to talk about it? And I think that's why the best thing is to say, why are we doing this? Actually, two random blokes talking about mental health could help you open up to someone.
Maybe
your friend or your parents, people at work. Don't be afraid to just say to someone, I'm struggling today. And there'll always be someone there that will ask that question, well, why are you struggling? What can we do to help you not struggle?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's not just people you read about in the news that suffers. You know, there's as you said, two average blokes from the Midlands. You know, if that doesn't give, you know, our listeners confidence to sort of open up and talk, then, you know, well, I just hope that it does, and we can help people, you know, as I said, even if it's just one person to start with, and we sort of snowball from there. I just think things like this, and, you know, the more help that is offered, the better. You know, there's people our age, you know, we're... You know,
do you think there's a lot of help out there for people, freely available?
Yes and no. Different sectors. I mean, obviously, in the workplace, you know, workplaces and work environments are becoming more and more understanding.
I agree with you that one.
But it has taken a while.
I think COVID-19 has pushed workplaces to explore how they can help people with their mental health a lot more.
I'm not too sure on that one. I mean, I know, obviously, watching all the press conferences and things that they've been holding, you know, Boris Johnson has been talking about mental health, and, you know, it has become a talking point on the news, you know, and I think that's good. That's absolutely good, because, you know, people that don't understand it or don't like hearing the words mental health, you know, are hearing it every day from Boris. You know, there's a reason why Boris Johnson is talking about it. And to be honest, you know, people love him and hate him. I was never into politics, but I think he's done an absolute amazing job, as well as all the other people involved, really. But keeping everyone informed, obviously, you know, conspiracies with regards to, you know, they know a lot more than what they're letting on, etc. But I just think he's doing his job well. And, you know, we'll be in a better position once all this is done, and we all work together and keep following all the rules.
I think, you know, going off on a tangent, politics.
Yeah,
turn those viewers off.
I know.
it's been highlighted a lot more, obviously, with lockdown, certain people being locked away. When I say locked away, not in prison or anything, but when you can't go and see people that you may have always seen, or go and do things that you'd have always seen.
Yeah, it's massively different. You know, it's changed people's lives. People have been on furlough, myself included. There's, you know, people losing their jobs, people stuck at home, can't go anywhere. You know, having to self isolate. You know, it's scary to think how close we once all were as people, you know, to just go and hug someone that you bump into on the street, you know, that'll be frowned upon now.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
And
social groups as well, isn't it? Like your social groups, you haven't been able to go and do what you'd normally do. Like we've just started playing football again, and just that couple of hours on a Sunday with loads of different people has really helped in the last few weeks for me.
Yeah. Definitely. But yeah, I mean,
how have you coped during COVID-19? Has it had a negative effect on your mental health?
A bit of both. All right. It's stressful. It's stressful because, you know, being on furlough, you know, you're losing, yes, it's 80%. Yeah, you know, you're getting paid 80%, but you're still losing 20%. So every 5 months, you lose 100% of, you know, 1 month's salary. You know, you're not. I'm a salesman, so my job is usually going out and seeing customers all day, every day. So I miss that. I miss that interaction. And yeah, to be honest, I did. Gained some weight, used the lockdown as an excuse to just eat.
I think we all turned to like my workplace, incredibly stressful when this all started. For those that know me, I work in retail. For those that don't, retail has been a complete stress factor over the last 3 months. But yeah, I think we all turned to food as our outlet. We didn't have the gym to go to, we didn't play football, we didn't go for a swim, so we all just decided the best thing to do was eat donuts and actually, you know, when you look back, you know, would I change anything? No, I probably wouldn't. Yeah, I've put on a bit of weight and I haven't been able to do a lot, but actually having that half an hour with someone whilst you eat a bit of rubbish and you talk a bit of rubbish, I don't think my mental health has struggled as much as I thought it would during this lockdown.
No. I think I've remained quite focused. I mean, to be honest, as I said, I did put on weight, and I don't want to annoy anyone, but I've actually lost it all again. You know, I've sort of got to a point where I was like, nah, this can't happen. You know, this cannot happen. So, I've been, you know, dug out my old Fitbit, got that on, making sure I'm getting the steps in, doing, you know, 3 mile runs every day. And just, you know, really did some research on what exercises I can do at home. And you know, I've got very little equipment. I've got one dumbbell and one skipping rope and a boxing bag.
Sometimes that's all you need to take an hour away from everyday life. I think the difference between me and you, I've been able to go to work.
Yeah, exactly.
I fully believe if I had to take that time off work, I would have struggled massively. Just being able to go and see different people every day, even under the stressful factors that have been going on, being able to see different people has helped massively, because you're all in the same situation. You're all, the only people that we've been able to see for 12 weeks was people that you worked with. So I've come out of it, I think, a different person. I don't know about you. I think I've learned a lot about myself over the last 12 weeks. You don't need to spend a lot of money to enjoy life, do you?
No. I mean, I'm actually saving to buy my first home. I don't call it my home. You know, I'm saving to buy my little boy's house. You know, and that's the way I see it. So, I haven't been spending money on clothes and stuff that people have been doing. You know, I've remained focused in what I want to achieve, and I've just been doing that. And part of that is just sitting at home. You know, it is stressful because I do want to get back into my job and, you know, to start earning some money. But you know, there's I think when you say you've changed and learned stuff about yourself, it's I think one of the most important lessons is to not stress about not stress about the things you can't control,
Yeah, that's massive for me. I
because
always say to people now, if you can't control a situation or control something, then there's nothing that you can do to change a situation. Don't worry about it.
and it doesn't help anyone. You know, if you spend all day stressing and worrying, you know, it doesn't get you closer to what you want to achieve. It actually sets you back, you know, and it's there's if things aren't in your control, then you can't do anything to change it. So yeah, it's all about just keeping those emotions at bay, really. But yeah, it's been a strange time. One thing I would say, or two things really, I have sort of due to another sort of incident, I won't get too much into it, but I have developed a better relationship with my son's mother. You know, we're on talking terms, and you know, things are a lot more civil, which is great. You know, it's I think that's what's best for Theo, and that's what I want to achieve, really. You know, do everything that I do is got to be best for the kids.
All for the greater
So
good in the future.
yeah, so you know, we're building a better relationship. And I've you know, because I'm not at work, you know, I'm seeing him during the week, which is great, which is absolutely amazing. So I've just been focusing on him and making sure I keep him active, and you know, because it must be, obviously you haven't got children, but
I
it
don't
must
know, so I
be,
don't.
yeah, it must be strange for them. Yes, he's only two, you know, he turned two in April, but you know, she was taking him to play groups and baby clubs, and you know, he's developed really well because of that. You know, he's 2 years old, and you know, his speech is amazing, his manners are amazing, and he's quite smart. He's quite what's the word? He's got an engineer's mindset. He loves building things and taking things apart just to put them back together again, and anything with engines and things like that. So, you know, it must be strange for him not being able to see all the you know, the toddlers that he usually knocks about with and sees, and has developed with. So, you know, it's all about keeping him active. And you know, one thing I've done since he was 3 months old is take him swimming. You know, take him swimming every week, and I haven't taken him swimming in ages. You know, and it's heartbreaking, because I think to myself, you know, what happens if he's thinking, "Dad, why aren't you taking me swimming?" You know, and yes, he's only two. He probably won't think that, but you know, it must be difficult for them. It must be strange for them. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have had to change lifestyles, change their routine. Do you think having a structured routine is something that you should always try and work on?
Oh God, yeah. I'm very strict and routine based, whether that's with, you know, Theodore or with myself, you know.
You have a strict regime?
With myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it lacked with regards to food, the early part of lockdown.
Dog.
But you know, very strict. You know, it's all about how, in terms of diet anyway, it's all about getting a better relationship with food. And if you eat a chocolate bar, you know, don't worry, it's not gonna affect you too much. But it's all in moderation, and being strict enough just to say, you know what, let's put it down. You know, have a rice cake instead. You know,
But
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
they do, they, well, one of the biggest tips that they can give you for mental health is to have a good physical health as well. So eating well, a good mix of nutrients, staying
Yeah. I
healthy.
mean, Yeah, if you look after your body, you know, naturally you look after your mind, and you know, focusing on yourself and improving yourself, self-development, you know, is a massive thing, because it just, I mean, it shows with yourself. You know, you lost weight, you got yourself into the gym, you know, you got a bit of muscle about you, and you know, your confidence has just grown massively. You know, I've seen that on social media. You know, you're posting videos talking to the camera, which you never used to do.
No.
You're posting your workouts. You know, how did you feel when you recorded yourself for the first time doing the workout?
Was nervous. I thought, oh, what are people going to think of this? They're going to think I'm stupid. They're going to think I'm not very good at it. But actually, off the back of it, when I did it, I gained confidence in myself, in my own abilities to do things. I further helped improve my own mental health and my own mental well-being. And I say now I have the confidence to do things. We've got the confidence to do this. And I just think going forward, everything's only going to improve the more that you just do things. Like I said to you, when did I message you last week? We've sat on this since January, and I said, "Let's. Why don't we just do it? What's the word? There's nothing bad that can come of it. There's nothing that we can say. Oh, actually, is it wrong that we're doing it? No, it's not. Even if I just think it's great that we could do stuff, we could talk about it, and that we can actually hopefully help improve everyone else's mental health around us, even if it's just a little step in the right direction. I just want to help everybody in their mental health.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, taking action changes things. It changes things massively, and there's, you know, it's important to make changes, and you know, really do what you want to do. There's no point saying, oh, you know, as you know, we've sat on this since January, and I don't know why. It's so the fact that we're doing this, and you know,
Recorded our
taking
first
action.
episode,
Yeah,
got it out
so
there,
yeah,
social media.
you
Make sure
know,
you
we're
follow us at Mental Talks.
yeah, we're you know, we're 45 minutes in. I think it's going pretty well, and you know, hopefully our listeners are tuning in, you know, when it's released, and you know,
Absolutely.
enjoy it. You know, it's yes, we're talking about mental health, but it needs to be enjoyable. You know, people,
Think we've been enjoyable today, Paul?
I think so. I mean, obviously,
It's very,
you know,
very sore
it's
subject to talk about and to start off on.
yeah, it's nerve-wracking for both of us. But obviously our friends and followers will, you know, hopefully they'll listen in and sort of be kind to us.
Be kind. Criticism will be accepted in any form and noted.
Yeah, I think it's important to interact with the listeners. You know, we are hoping for a decent sort of following. But you know, if there's things that people want us to cover
Oh,
specifically,
absolutely.
then
Let us know what they want us to cover.
that's brilliant, because you know, someone could reach out and say, right, you know, please can you cover loneliness or something, and how you two deal with that. And the reason they're asking that is because they feel lonely themselves, and so if we can help anyone with anything, you know, we're not doctors, you know, we're not therapists, we're not counselors. Well, I'm certainly not. I don't know about you,
I've
Lewis.
never been signed off as a counsellor, but
No, but you know, if we can use our words to fight the stigma and help people, then we certainly
push
will.
mental health in the right direction to be
Yeah.
normal. People are normal. We're all normal people. That's what we want to do. So, if we're going to talk, so we're wrapping it up next week, we're going to be talking about rebuilding. I think it's a great topic to talk about, how we restarted.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is it. As soon as we'll talk about the light bulb moment and why, you know, what made us want to take action and you know, as you said, restart and rebuild. I think that'll be great to touch on and work through.
Absolutely. What's your top tip
Okay.
for the end of this episode then, Paul?
Oh, top
Top tip
tip.
going forwards.
We'll do a Paul top tip and a Lewis top tip.
Paul's top tip from episode one Paul. Of Mental Talks.
Okay, is we covered it earlier. Don't stress about things you have no control over, and just keep focused. So yeah,
like that top tip.
Yeah. What about yours?
Lewis's top tip: accept who you are. I think it's really important. You know, we're all different people in this world. But if you accept that you're unique, don't try and be someone else. It will really boost your confidence when you finally help and accept who you are. Build good self-esteem. What do you reckon?
Perfect. Yeah, that sounds brilliant. That sounds brilliant. I think these top tips should be in every episode.
We will
if
bring
honest.
Top tips from Paul and Lewis every episode.
New and exclusive.
But as for me, thank you for those that are going to listen. Be brilliant to hear your feedback. Yourself, Paul?
Yeah, perfect. Fantastic. Yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Thanks
for those that tune in.